2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen. And I just want to preach tonight, very simple title, Stir Up the Gift. Amen. Stir up the gift. And I want to help somebody. I hope that tonight, before I'm finished, that I have preached victory into somebody's heart here tonight. Amen. Amen. If you've come tonight and you're down and you don't know what the future's going to hold for your life, I want you to know there is a way, there is a direction that God has for your life. If you'll hear the word of God and get after it. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the truth. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that have come down to us tonight. Bless us, touch us, and anoint the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Amen. You know, when we start something, that's one thing. But finishing that thing that you start is quite another thing. And I've learned in life that in order to be successful, you have to gain some understanding into the things that are available to you and the original direction that you were going when you started, that you stay on that course and you stay on that direction until you see the end of the journey. Amen. And yet tonight, success is not just understanding what to do and doing it, but it is, at least in my estimation tonight, it is a continual reminding of oneself and a renewing of that knowledge as you go through the course of the journey. And of course, I'm talking about making our way to heaven tonight. And there are some things, there is some wisdom and some understanding that we need to get a hold of, that we will remind ourselves and that we will stir up as we go to heaven and as we are walking with the Lord. And that stirring up process will happen 100,000 times before you step through the pearly gates. It is not a one-time trip to the altar. It is not a one-time prayer meeting. It is not just hearing a few messages. It's not just a day or two of fasting and you make it to the end of the journey. I'm here to tell you tonight that it is more than that. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss a very important part of serving God tonight. Now, I believe tonight we're so blessed. Praise God. And we're so blessed because we have everything we need to make it to the journey's end. I'm going to say that again. We have everything that we need to make it to the end of this journey. Praise God. And in fact, we've got to have more than just enough. Amen. We've got to apply it to our everyday life and experience victory over and over again. Praise the Lord. When I came to God, I was a loser. Amen. When I came to God, I didn't know the excitement of winning over and over and over again. But I come to understand something, that when you give your life to God, He teaches you how to fight your battles. He teaches your hands to war. And He shows you what it's like to step on the neck of the enemy. Amen. He gives you that feeling of elation. I won. Praise God. And I'm going to win again. And I'm going to win again. I'm going to win again. I'm not going to get a losing mentality, but I'm going to get a winning mentality. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost already here tonight. Amen. This is a winning church. Praise God. You're a winning saint of God. You've got everything you need to be a winner over and over and over again with God and with the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like to win. I've come to the place where I enjoy winning. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with winning. Don't let this new age idea that we're going to give a trophy to everybody for participation. Amen. That's not the way it works in the real world. Amen. In the real world, it's dog eat dog, so to speak. And you're going to have to push yourself to win in this world. Amen. There's nothing wrong with winning. Amen. And it's exciting and wonderful. Amen. When we're talking about winning in this pursuit of heaven and eternity with God. Amen. Amen. We started out today with the laying on of hands. Paul said to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Hebrews 6 and 2, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands. It is a basic principle of the doctrine of Christ. Acts 8 and 17, then laid they hands on them, their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Acts 19 and verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. And so Timothy was reading the letter that Paul had written to him, and Paul said, "You've got what you've got, but by the laying on of my hands." There was a day when you were outside of the commonwealth of the church, Timothy. There was a day when you did not have everything that you needed. You had a mother that was godly. You had a grandmother that was godly. And you were taught the scriptures from a very young age. But Timothy, you got to have more than mama's consecration. You got to have more than grandma's consecration. Amen. You've got to have more, amen, than all of the good things that are around you, cheering you on. Amen. Cheering you on and saying, "You can make it, son. You can make it, daughter." Because I've learned something. The only people that truly become winners are those that don't listen to all of those voices all the time and lean on mom and daddy and lean on somebody else. Amen. But they get a hold of God and they begin to lean on God. They get a hold of the things that have come down from heaven and they say, "I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it if mama doesn't make it. I'm going to make it if grandma doesn't make it. I'm going to live for God if my friends leave. I'm going to stand for God no matter what." Well, praise the Lord, because I've got everything that I need in the Holy Ghost. When the laying on of hands happened in my life, I received from God every single thing that I needed from Him to make it all the way to heaven. Well, praise God. It was the gift of the Holy Ghost. But there were other things that came with the Holy Ghost. It was more than just the gift of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Well, praise the Lord. I need to minister a little bit here tonight. Amen. Because I want to reach to somebody that is needing this here tonight. Amen. God has given us some tools, if you please. God has given us some weapons against the flesh, the devil, and the world. Amen. When we receive the Holy Ghost, you can look in your Bible and you'll find more than what I'm going to bring out here tonight. But in the Word of God, the Bible says we receive joy when we receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that we receive peace when we receive the Holy Ghost. It says that we receive righteousness when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We receive power, Acts 1 and 8, when we receive the Holy Ghost. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, we receive truth when we receive the Holy Ghost. We receive grace when we receive the Holy Ghost. The grace and the favor and the love of God to us. Amen. To fill this old rotten, dirty person with that pure and holy, Holy Ghost. Amen. What a powerful thing it was. And I began to list these things, and I came up with 8 different things: joy, peace, righteousness, love, forgiveness, power, truth, and grace. And those are very important areas of living for God and understanding, amen, understanding what we received. You got to know what's in your toolbox if you're going to get the job done. You've got to understand the weapons that are available to you if you're going to win the battle, when you get engaged in the battle. Praise God. And so when we receive these things, we received enough. Everybody said, I've got enough. I've got enough in the Holy Ghost. And if you're not careful, you will let these things slip away and give way to another spirit, which will take away your weapons of warfare. But Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, don't do this. Amen. Don't get away from this victory that God has for you. He said, I'm going to put you in remembrance. I'm going to help you to remember, Timothy, because it's easy to forget. Amen. It's easy to forget in the battle. It's easy to forget in the heat of the moment. Amen. It's easy to forget what is available to us and bolt and give way and say, oh, it's not worth it, or I'm going to go in another direction. It's not the will of God for you to go in another direction. It's not the will of God for you to quit. Praise God. It's not even the will of God for you to back up a little bit. Amen. But it's the will of God to press onward. It's the will of God to press upward. Praise God. Well, praise God. And he said, I'm putting you in remembrance. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. Stir it up. Amen. You've got to stir up the gift that is in you. Because it's in you. It's in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. He told this young preacher these things because there would be time when the enemy would try to come back. And the enemy will use the same old tactics to control you. Amen. But tonight, it's not time to let fear control your life. Amen. Now it's not time to give in and let the enemy defeat you in your mind. Amen. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Amen. But of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. We're not here tonight with a double mind. He may help me and he may not help me. He may be with me and he may not be with me. Oh, listen, friend, you can't get that kind of an attitude. You can't let your mind be affected like that. You've got to come to the place where you say, if God be for me, who can be against me? God is for me. God is for me. Praise the Lord. And it's not the time to give in, but it's the time to stand up and claim victory in the face of certain defeat. Amen. And the struggle that we will, this is the struggle that we're going to have until the rapture takes place. I want you to understand that tonight. And you've got to come to a place in your mind and in your heart where you say, what am I going to allow to control my life? Amen. Am I going to let fear and unbelief and doubt control my life? Oh, I'm one here tonight that refuses to let anything control me but Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Because if you go back the other way, it's going to be a control situation. Amen. And this is a struggle that we're going to have. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to struggle in this flesh. Amen. But my God tonight is the God who created everything. And everything that God created still works the same way that He created it. Even though we've had World War I and World War II, even though there are nuclear weapons that are poised all around our globe, amen, everything that God created is still working exactly like He made it in the very beginning. You want to know why? It's because we serve an everlasting God. We serve the eternal God tonight. Well, praise the Lord. And not only are the things that God made still working exactly the way they did from the beginning when He created them, His call is still eternal in your life. Well, praise God. God's power is still eternal. The joy that God has for us is eternal. The peace of God is eternal. The love of God is eternal. His forgiveness is eternal. His truth is eternal. His grace is eternal tonight. And we receive those when we receive the Holy Ghost. I'm here to preach to somebody tonight. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed is your position. Let's position ourselves where we see God and we see the glory of God and the will of God, and we'll make it all the way. Come on, somebody, clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Well, praise God. I'm feeling an evangelist spirit here tonight. I want to live and not die. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Oh, God, help us. I feel this so strongly in my heart. I couldn't wait to get here to preach it. Amen. These things that came to us are still available to us. You know, we talk to people all the time, and it's easy to show them baptism. You know, it's real easy to get in the tank of water and be baptized. But when you start talking about the Holy Ghost and you start talking about speaking in other tongues, they make a big deal out of that. You know, oh, well, I'm not really sure. And, of course, you understand that folks that have a problem with that usually have a problem in other areas. Surrender, you know, give commitment, things along that line. If you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, you've got to be able to open yourself up. And some folks don't want to do that. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it's more than just speaking in tongues. And they talk about it as though it's some big thing. And once you've done that, that's all there is to it. But after we received the Holy Ghost, we were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We received all of the things that we're talking about. And it's a big thing. It's a real big thing to have love in your heart. Because you're not going to live for God if you have bitterness in your heart. It's a big thing to have peace in your heart. How many of us here tonight over the course of the years of serving God have struggled with that one right there? To have peace in your heart. And you come to church and you don't have peace in your heart. And you reach out and you struggle and you try to get it. And you try to understand why it seems like it's left. But I'm here to tell you, you kept coming. And you kept coming to the altar. And you kept stirring up the gift of God that He gave you in the beginning. And the day came when the peace of God flooded your soul. And you said, I'm a winner. Praise God. I'm a winner. I made it through that test. And then another one comes along. And, you know, we wrestle through those things. But it's more than just coming to the altar and talking in tongues. Oh, thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that was the starting point. That was where we were born into the kingdom of God. I'm glad I don't wear diapers anymore. Well, praise God. Maybe I ought to redo that reference there. Amen. Forget it. I'm glad I don't drink my milk out of a bottle anymore. I'm glad I don't have to have somebody to carry me around everywhere I go. Praise God. Oh, help me, Jesus. I'm glad I've got my real teeth in my mouth. I'm glad I know how to talk. And I don't have to figure out how to walk. I've got those things figured out. Birth was a great thing. But the Bible says that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Because the day of death is the full maturity. It is the full culmination of the will of God. It is the entirety of God's will and God's plan on this earth. I don't want to stay back here in the baby stage. I don't want to go back to the infant stage. I don't want to go back where I should be a teacher, but now I need somebody to teach me again. Amen. There's a way to grow. There's a way to go forward. And it's to stir up the gift of God that is within you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues. Let God do it until the joy comes. Let God do it in your life until the peace comes. Until you feel the power of God, I'm going to make it. I'm going to overcome. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Come on, church. We've got to learn how to stir up the gift. That's what worship is all about. That's what praising God is all about. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't come to church and worship because I have joy. There are times I come and worship until I get joy. Well, praise God. I don't come to church because I'm perfect. I come to church because I'm imperfect. And I reach out to God until He perfects me and makes me more and more into His image. I don't give to God and support the work of God because I am righteous. Amen. But I want to do the will of God. And so I give for that reason. Amen. I worship because I need joy. I give God praise and I pray and I fast. It's all about this tonight. Stirring up the gift of God that's in you. That's what our service ought to be about. That's what our giving ought to be about. That's what our faithfulness ought to be about. It is about stirring up the gift of God that is within us. And I read something here in the scriptures, Matthew 12 and verse 43. And I read something. And this got a hold of me the other day, and I was really mulling it over for a number of days, actually. And then we were looking for some vases for the church, and we went into Kirkland's, and my wife said, "Look at that! Look at this right here. Oh, that's pretty neat. There's a scripture right there." And it was the scripture. I needed a scripture to go with the message, and there it was, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And so if you want to title this the Kirkland message, whatever you want to title it, Brother Greg, I just call it Stir Up the Gift. But the Lord gave me that scripture, and I got my pen out, and I wrote it down right there on the spot because there was something I wanted to deal with here tonight that I believe will help somebody. Matthew 12 and 43, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, and seeking rest, findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished." Praise the Lord. "Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Amen. When we come and give our lives to God, it's verse 43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man. Praise God. Remember when you got baptized? Remember when you got the Holy Ghost? The joy, the power, the victory, the feeling of being right with God. Amen. Does anybody remember that? I remember that. I remember that experience that I had. And our house was swept. It was empty. It was swept. It was garnished. Oh, it was full of the Holy Ghost. But it was empty of growth. It was empty of accessories. It was empty. It's like it's like an empty toolbox. You've got the toolbox, you can go to work, and it looks like you're ready to go to work. But when it's all said and done, hey, could I borrow your pliers? Could I borrow this? Could I borrow that? Well, why? Well, my toolbox is empty. But you know what? In living for God, we can't do that. The enemy comes, and he checks out the house. Just because you received the Holy Ghost and gave your life to God doesn't mean that the battle is over with. There are more battles to fight, but we're winners in this fight. We're winners in this fight. And so he comes back and he finds it empty, swept and garnished. There's not any knowledge there. There's no understanding there. None of these things have been brought into this house. If you please, they sat on the church pew and they listened to messages. They came to church, and when it was time for prayer, they just sat there and didn't really pray. And when it was time for worship, maybe once in a while, they'd worship the Lord. But when it all came down to it, there was no spiritual growth. There was no understanding of the Scripture. There was no application of the Word of God to their self. But it was more like, I'm coming to be fed. Amen. I'm here for a good meal. And after a while, that's okay at first, but after a while, you know, eating at the same place, after a while, you get tired of it. Amen. Right. You say, well, let's try this place over here. And then you get excited about that for a little while. And then you go over here. And kids are that way, you know. Mom's got a few meals that she prepares. She doesn't have a brand new meal every time. She doesn't. This is what will happen to Brother Green when he's 63. I'm getting tired of green beans. I'm getting tired of corn. We're going to have that again? Oh, I know I'm talking to all these young men on the front row. Probably some of you on the second row as well. Oh, I'll tell you what, though. You get out on your own and anything looks good. Anything looks good. Just as long as it's on the plate, I've got something to eat. Praise God for that. Oh, well, you know, turn up our nose. Well, I'm really not sure I like that. That's the way this person was when they came to serve God and to do the will of God. And so we have the Spirit comes back, and he looks at the house, and he says, it's empty, it's swept, it's garnished. I remember what it was like living in this house. I remember that in this house I could control the person of this house with fear. Amen. I remember that I could control this person with doubt. I knew I could control this person in this way or that way or the other. Amen. Now maybe they've gotten victory over that. So I'm going to get seven other of my buddies, and we're going to come back, and we're going to enter back into this house. And now it's not just going to be a controlling factor of fear. It's going to be added on to that, a spirit of depression. On top of that, a spirit of lust and pride will begin to come in. Amen. And the latter state of the person is worse than the first state of the person. And what I would like to tell you tonight is that there I come up with these eight different things, amen, that God has given to us in the Holy Ghost. And in the Scripture, we find the opposite of those things that are in this world that will try to assault you. God gave us joy in the Holy Ghost, didn't he? But the Bible says there is a spirit of heaviness. And that's one of the spirits that comes back to your house to try to get into your house. A spirit of heaviness. Amen. What do I do when a spirit of heaviness comes? Stir up the gift of God that's in you. And pray until the joy of the Lord comes down in your heart. God gave us peace in the Holy Ghost, didn't he?
Right.
And the Bible says there is a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But there will be a spirit of fear that will come along. Oh, you're not going to make it. You can't do this. You're a loser. And he'll tell you all sorts of things. What do? Am I just going to battle this the rest of my life? No, I'm here to preach to somebody tonight that you need to stir up the gift of God that's in you until you find the peace of God, and the spirit of fear will leave you. You got to learn how to stand up and rebuke it in Jesus' name and cast it out of your house. God gave us righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there is a spirit of iniquity, amen, that the Bible talks about. The spirit of iniquity and the spirit of pride, amen. And when that spirit comes along and tempts you, you got to stir up the gift of God that's in you. Anybody still with me here tonight? God gave us love when he gave us the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there is a spirit of hatred and envy in our world today. And it's not the will of God. You can't live for God that way. You can't make it to heaven that way. What am I going to do? Stir up the gift of God that's within you. And until the love of God comes into your heart. Amen. God gave us forgiveness. I'm thankful for his forgiveness. But there's a spirit of unforgiveness that will come along and tell you you've got a right to be upset. Well, there's one thing about being upset, and there's another in letting it control your life.
Right.
I refuse to let anyone control my life. Praise God. Let me say it this way. I refuse to let anyone control my spirit.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let someone control my spirit and tell me whether or not I'm going to have a good or a bad day today. I'm going to stir up the gift of God until God shows me how much he forgave me. Praise God. And then it's easy to forgive others because it's a small amount compared to what God forgave me when he healed me of my sins. He's given us the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there is a spirit of bondage that will try to attach itself to you where you are bound by certain things and you can't get free from it. And you're stuck there in your spirit and in your heart. But it's not the will of God to have a spirit of bondage. But God has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise God. You got to stir up the gift of God. And when you begin to speak in tongues, there's the power of God right there. And rebuke it in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, spirit of bondage. I'm standing up and I'm living for God. God gave us truth tonight. Thank God for truth. But the Bible calls it the spirit of error. It's a spirit of error that's in our world today. How do we get free from the spirit of error? We stir up the gift of God that's within us. Well, praise God. And I'll tell you also how we get the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth comes from the apostolic doctrine that's in the Word of God. And it comes to us through the preaching of the Word of God. The spirit of error comes from pride. It comes from the flesh. Amen. The spirit of error goes in the way of flesh and it centers around control. The old timer said you can understand false doctrine, or you can know that it's false doctrine if it gives liberty to the flesh. It's false doctrine. Amen. It's not of God. Amen. The truth of the Word of God is that we must crucify this flesh. Amen. If we're going to serve God. And so we've got to stir it up. How do I stir up the spirit of truth? I'll tell you how. Be faithful to the house of God. And when it's time for the preaching of the Word of God, say, God, speak to me. When I don't have wisdom and understanding, the Bible says, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. I've got everything I need. I'm not lacking in any way. I just have to stir it up. You know why I'm here tonight? I want to stir it up. Why are you here tonight? Is it to stir it up? I want to stir up the doctrine in my mind. Stir up the doctrine, Pastor. Preach Acts 2:38 again. And then preach it again. And then preach it again. Because I got to have it stirred up in my mind so that I will have the Spirit of truth way down deep inside. Praise God. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive the grace of God. But there is a spirit, amen, that has conditional favor. I'm glad God is not that way. Amen. I'm glad that He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And He's filled others with the Holy Ghost. Everybody a rank sinner. And He washed our sins away. He did that. Oh, praise God. How can I look at others and say, I don't accept you because of this? I don't accept you because of that. I'm talking within the context of the church tonight. I'm not talking about allowing homosexuals into the church. And God forbid, like in some places, they're actually preaching from the pulpit. They're not preaching, amen, because they're not called to preach. Amen. We don't accept that in our church. There are some things that we cannot receive. And if someone comes and they say, I'm not living right, I want to get right, we're going to love them just like anybody else. But a story was told to me of a man that approached an apostolic pastor in Arkansas and said, there's about 20 or 30 of us, and we're gay, and we're looking for an apostolic church to go to. And we're not going to give you any trouble. We just want to go to church, and we'll pay our tithes, and we'll give offerings, but we're just looking for a place to go to church. And the pastor very kindly said, you know what? It's not going to work here. Amen. Folks, we cannot allow that kind of confusion into the house of God. But I'm telling you what, Nathan, if you mess up, I'm not going to throw you away. Eric, I'm not going to throw you away. Garrett, we're not going to throw you away. Tessa, we might throw you away. But God help us tonight. No, I'm just joking. I love you, Tessa. Amen. We don't have a trash can big enough anyhow. I tell her, what are we going to do with you, girl? I don't have a trash can big enough to throw you into. Praise God. I love Tessa. Amen. And God's going to give her I've got to give you the Holy Ghost in this revival. Praise the Lord. But you know what, Gavin? You mess up, I'm not throwing you away. I'm not throwing you away. I'm not throwing you away. You know why? Because I love you and because God loves you. How many of us, when we came to God, we fell away into a sin? You don't have to lift your hand tonight. The honest ones will lift it up really quick. Amen. And I've got my hand up as well. I've had many, many times that I've had to go to God in prayer and say, God, please forgive me. Amen. But a spirit will try to attach itself to you. And I'm thankful. I don't feel that in our church here. Amen. Those of you that are here tonight, I know you love each other. Praise God because of that spirit of grace. Amen. If you get to the place where that's affecting you, you've got to stir it up. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:9, I know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But it doesn't stop there with the message of judgment, and that's a part of the message. But it says, such were some of you, but you are washed. Thank God for that. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The answer tonight is to stir up the gift of God that is within you. You cannot afford to go a day without stirring up the gift of God in you. We cannot afford to go a moment without prayer. Praise God. And to stir this up and to keep it alive and real and fresh and moving in our life. It's not the will of God that you fall away. It's not the will of God that you lose out. But it is the will of God that we make it all the way. All the way. In victory. In victory. In victory. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 9. I wrote unto the church. But Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. These are brethren now. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. I got to looking at that. That scripture's been going over in my mind. This man did not stir up the gift of God. But I looked it up, and a lot of times with names in the Strong's Concordance, it doesn't give the definition of what that name actually means. But in this case, it does. And the name Diotrephes means love nourished. Love nourished. And I thought, now that's very interesting. Here's a man who's kicking people out of the church. Here's a man who will not receive the brethren, who would not receive even the Apostle Paul. Amen. He had his own way of bringing it across, and everybody was with him and behind him. And they said, yeah, that's the way to do this. But Paul said he loves to have the preeminence. He wants to control other people and so on and so forth. And he said, I'm going to remember the deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words and not content, won't receive the brethren, forbiddeth them that would. Amen. Forbiddeth them that would and cast them out of the church. God help us that we will not fall into the trap of Diotrephes, where when we first came to God, we were love nourished. I hope that everybody here that's come into the church through this, and maybe even wherever you came into the church, that you felt love from the church. And you were nourished by love. And you were nourished. Somebody drove to your house every week and taught you a Bible study and established you, spent months and months helping you to understand and encouraging you and praying for you and sending a text message, I love you, praying for you. Love nourished. Love nourished. To come to a place where all of a sudden now I have the right to not do it that way, but I can become difficult and hard with others. Folks, we cannot afford to go that direction. What we've got to do is stir up the Holy Ghost in us. And we've got to learn how to love one another. Praise God. Come on now, this is one of the greatest things. It's the only thing that will endure. Praise God. Praise God. The only thing that will endure. Amen. Something happened to this love-nourished man. He forgot where he came from. And he got to the place where he could kick people out of the church for things that were outside of biblical doctrine. Amen. Yes, there's some things we're not going to embrace. We already talked about that. But I'm telling you, what we need to embrace is stirring up the gift of God. Amen. Timothy, Paul said, stir it up, son. He's a preacher. He was a pastor. He's a young man just getting started in his ministry, and he said, stir it up. You know what I want to say tonight? I want to say, Gavin, stir it up, son. I want to say, Hunter, stir it up, son. That's the only way you're going to make it. Got to say, Isaac, you got to stir it up, son. It's the only way to make it. Nathan, you've got to do it that way. Eric, you've got to do it that way. Garrett, you've got to do it that way. Well, praise God. Daryl, the only way is to stir it up. Brother Keith, it's the only way. Stir up the gift that God gave to you by the laying on of hands. Doug and Rapidy and Chris, Sister Glenda, all of us here tonight, there's only one way to make it to heaven. I've got to stir up. Come on, let's stand to our feet tonight. I've got to stir up the gift of God that is within me. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because he has peace. He has joy. He has righteousness. He has love. He has forgiveness. He has power. He has truth. He has grace. And there's only one way that it comes. It's not going to come through multiple relationships, but it's going to come. Oh, I'll tell you where it comes. It came Sunday night in service. Yeah. Stirring it up. Let's stir it up. Praise God. Let's stir up the gift of God. I'm not going to stir up trouble, but I want to stir up the gift of God. Amen. Where did this stirring come from? It came from hearts that said, I've got to have God, and I've got to have him right now. I need him today. I need him right now. Amen. That's why we need to be faithful to church. Amen, because it will be at the church that I will be provoked to good works. Amen. It will be at the house of God that I will learn to be faithful in prayer, submissive to those that are in the rule over me. Amen. And learning to love one another and accept one another. Praise God. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important. Praise God. Because those that find themselves out there for a long period of time, folks, there are many, many voices in this world. The Bible says that none of them are without signification, meaning they've all got a message, and some of those messages make sense in a certain way when you think about it like this. But what we've got to do is stir up our mind, come to the house of God, and I'll guarantee you, if you're praying about it, God will send the message right over the pulpit, and it'll straighten your mind out. Not that we're all stupid, that's not what I'm saying, but this is a spiritual kingdom that we're in. This is a spiritually functioning kingdom. It doesn't function by the ways and the thoughts of men. But God is ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I need preaching in my life because it stirs up my mind. And it reminds me over and over and over again, I need God, I need God, I need God, I need God. Let's lift our hands and love him together tonight. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, stir up the gift that's within you. Stir up the gift tonight that is within you. Make up your mind you're going to stir it up in the morning before you go to work. I'm going to stir it up in the course of the day. The gift, that gift of joy that God gave me, that gift of peace that God gave me. I'm going to stir it up. 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 Praise God. That's it. Come on, let's stir it up one more time before we leave this evening. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. In the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Get behind me, Satan. Take your other seven and go somewhere else, but you're not welcome here. The Lord kicked you out of this place. And by the grace and the help of God, I'm not letting you back in. Because I've got one stronger than you. His name is Jesus. In the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That Word of God. The Word of God is a sword. It's a two-edged sword. If you swing it this way, it's going to cut. If you swing it that way, it's going to cut. If you go at it that way, it's going to stab. You don't want to get close to it if you're an enemy of the sword. Because you're going to get hurt. And you're going to get hurt bad. I'll tell you what we need. Some saints of God that'll get the Word of God in their mouth. That'll get the Word of God in their hands. And when that little puny devil comes back and starts knocking on your door, open the door and go, whew.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I just wanted to talk to you for a minute. Okay, I get the point. I'm not coming around for a while. We got to get used to saying, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, devil. Praise God. Go ahead and startle him. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And after a while, they'll say, Paul I know, and Jesus I know. I know those folks. I'm not going to get around them. As for you, I don't know who you are. We won't get into that here tonight. But I'm telling you what, the spirits of hell, there comes a time in your life where you've got to make yourself known. And you've got to stand up to the plate and say, my name is Greg Worse. And until I die, you're going to have to contend with me. Because I'm going to be on my knees praying in Jesus' name. And when it's time for church, I'm going. And I'm going to help somebody else. I'm going to bring somebody with me. And I'm going to encourage them. And I'm going to fight against you until there's no more breath left in me. I'm not going to walk around with a handkerchief crying all the time, oh, woe is me. No, I got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Word of God. I've got everything I need to make it. Not just to make it, but to be victorious. And to learn the joy and the victory of winning over and over and over and over and over again. Praise God. Praise God. There's victory. There's victory. There's victory. Do you want victory? Or would you rather just lay around and let the world, Moab, suck you in like a whirlpool? Like the man of God preached the other night. Amen. I don't want anything to do with Moab. I don't want anything to do with the darkness. I want to stay in the light and love the light. Praise God. Let's sing a chorus tonight. And why don't we just come and worship God, or just worship God wherever you are. Amen. But let's let the Holy Ghost have His way. Before you leave, just stir it up. If you're struggling tonight, just stir it back up again. Get those thoughts out of your mind till the Holy Ghost replenishes those thoughts with the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.